friends, welcome to worship today. We are in for a treat as Diane presents more of Moses' story and the way our story fits into God's. So stay with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in the call to worship for today. In a world that cries out, "Fear me," we will listen to Jesus' words, "Don't be afraid." In a world that wants us to hate the other, we will live Jesus' call to love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In a world that radicalizes, we too will be radical. Radical with our hospitality, radical with our hope, radical with our love. Then come to this place ready to be who we are called to be. Let us gather together and worship God. And let's light our Christ candle. I hope you have one at home, and I'll light the one here in the sanctuary as we remember that Jesus Christ came to call us into his story. If you follow along with such things, you will know probably that today we celebrate Reformation Sunday. Some of the prayers are formulated around that idea. Let's pray together. God of life, may your light shine on your people today as it shone in each moment of history. May the light of your presence inspire this celebration and inspire our lives to praise you and recognize you as source of all creation, as strength that sustains, as sap that nurtures, as wisdom that foresees, as clarity that discovers, as love that understands, as mercy that forgives. May the light of your presence, eternal and inextinguishable, shine on us now and forever, till the dawn of your kingdom, present in each day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's say the prayer of confession. Living God, you are the one who is always on the move, always creating and recreating, always doing a new thing. Yet we confess, O Lord, that our lives can become static, routinely paralyzed by doubt and fear. We get stuck in patterns of greed and self-interest. We doubt your promise of abundant, everlasting life, and so we don't live in ways that take us towards that life. Our souls remain still. We don't love as you love, or live as you would have us live, with courage, generosity, and the boldness of the gospel. Forgive us, O God. Renew us by your Spirit, and reform us with your compassion, remaking us evermore into the image of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Today's reading is from the New Revised Standard Version, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place today. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired, and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, when the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him, and the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was equaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are with Moses again. Last Sunday, we heard that wonderful story of Moses kind of wrestling with God and getting a promise out of God that God would remain with his people despite their failings. Well, that episode actually happened just a few months into Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness. It was early on. But now today, we come again to Moses, and this time, we're at the other end of those 40 years, at the end, and as we've heard, also at the very end of Moses' life. The Israelites were finally on the cusp of entering the land that God had been promising would be their home since the days of Abraham. It was so close. And so, as he had so many times before during those 40 years, God met with Moses one last time. From the top of Mount Nebo, God showed Moses the whole land. Think about how incredible that sight must have been for him. 40 years of leading those people through everything that had happened, trusting that one day God was going to get them there, and there it was, right in front of him. You know, if we were writing this as a happily ever after story, it might end right there with that scene of Moses looking over the land. Or it might end with Moses leading the people into the land at last. But as we heard, that's not actually how this story goes. Because as God showed Moses the land, he also told him that he wouldn't be going with them into it. Instead, as we heard, he died right there, in sight of the land, but not yet arrived. I believe really strongly that it's important that we are honest with Scripture. And sometimes that means asking God tough questions. I really believe that God can handle those questions, and so I also really believe that there's actually wisdom in facing them. Because in wrestling with these questions, we can actually find that our faith is deepened and grows more resilient. Scripture's not meant to give us easy answers that we're looking for. And it is certainly not always easy to understand. Just ask the folks who are meeting every Wednesday to make our way through Genesis in our Bible study. But Scripture is meant to help us to find our way to this life with God, and also to find our way through that life. And that can happen if we dare to bring our honest selves to it. So this morning, my honest self, and maybe yours as well, is struggling a bit with this part of the story. It feels unfair. Moses was a great leader. He wasn't perfect, but he was still great. That's what we hear in the epitaph of this reading in verse 10. Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses had answered the call to lead God's people for all of those 40 years, and we know from the story that it was not easy. Yet he did go with them through that whole time, but he wasn't going to get to go with them just over those last few miles. He never had the opportunity to gather with them there to worship God in the land in which they were living in freedom. He died. He died within sight of the goal, but just short of it. And so we find ourselves wondering, what's up with that? Well, friends, I think it's absolutely okay to wonder that. And so let's wonder a little bit about it together today. Well, at first, would you think about why this might be? You might think that perhaps it was Moses' age that prevented him from taking them any further. I mean, 40 years was a good haul. But God doesn't tidy things up with a nice, easy answer like that. Verse 7 does tell us that Moses was 120 years old when he died. But it also says his eyes were not yet weak, nor his strength gone. It seems that age, as great as that age was, and health were not what was preventing him from carrying on. So, what might it have been? Well, if you remember the whole story of Moses with the people, you may be familiar with an episode that happened just a bit earlier than this. We actually read about it in Numbers chapter 20. The people were grumbling again. This was something they had a bit of a propensity to do. This time, it was because they didn't have any water. Remember, they're traveling through a desert. So God told Moses to speak to the rock. And he said he would make the water gush out from it. Well, Moses didn't exactly follow God's instructions. I think he did what probably seemed to make sense to him. See, earlier on in their journey, they'd had the same situation, no water, and God had told Moses that time to bash his staff on the rock, and then water gushed out of the rock. So I think Moses probably thought, well, it had worked the first time, so do it again. And in doing that, he ignored the instructions God had given him this time, which were not to hit the rock with his staff, but to speak to the rock. God was gracious, and he still brought water from the rock. But there were consequences for Moses not following God's instructions. He would not be the one that led the people into the land. Big consequences, really. Was God punishing Moses? Or was God seeing something in Moses' character that meant that he wouldn't be able to provide the kind of leadership that they were going to need in the future? I tend to think it's actually the latter. I think it's something God saw that reflected on the leadership Moses could give. That's really more in keeping with God's way of working with us than to think that God was punishing Moses. But it doesn't really matter, because whichever is the case, the net result is that from this point on, Moses knew how things would go. You know, if we're going to feel for Moses in this, then I think we also need to recognize that he didn't just pack it all in at that point, throw down his staff and leave in a huff. He didn't abandon his call. He continued to lead them, most notably by giving them a number of extensive addresses that were designed to prepare them to be able to live faithfully with God in freedom in the land they were about to enter. Those addresses are together. We have them all. They make up the book of Deuteronomy, this book. So we might wonder why God stopped Moses from leading the people into the land. But really, the more interesting question is, what is it that kept Moses leading them when he clearly knew at that point, from that point on, that his days were numbered? Well, I think that lovely epitaph that I said earlier, shared with you earlier in the sermon, I think it tells us some important things that can help us maybe to get some answers to these questions. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Until Jesus came, Moses was an unmatched prophet, in large part because he was able to live out his call while having such a close relationship with God. Remember, Exodus tells us that God would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And I think that, perhaps more than anything else, that might be what helped Moses to accept God's decision and still carry on faithfully. Having a bit of an idea how God tends to work in his relationships with us, my guess is that those face-to-face times with God Moses had really shaped his character, both as a leader and as a man. 40 years of living in friendship with God in that way had formed his faith so strongly that Moses was able to face his end gracefully, buoyed by some deeply held beliefs. Beliefs like realizing that it really wasn't all about him. Moses knew he was part of a much, much bigger story. And it's a story that doesn't begin or end with any one of us. It's a story that will carry on after we're done, until God gets us all to that life that he's promised us. Because Moses knew this, he also trusted that God had called Israel's next leader, Joshua, and he trusted that God would be with Joshua in just the way that he'd been with him over those 40 years. Moses believed these things deeply, and they carried him through to the end. So today, rather than getting stuck thinking that Moses' end was unfair, I think we'd all be far better served if we learn from his example of faith. If we remember that we too, each, are vital parts of that same story Moses was a part of, a story that is much, much bigger than us. It's the story that God began when he started all of this, and it's a story that will come not to its ending, but to its culmination, when God's work restoring and renewing his good creation is finally done. We are part of God's story, friends, each and every one of us. And when we begin to truly believe this, and then begin to live believing it, we discover some things that we all long for pretty deeply. Things like meaning and purpose. This is one of the great secrets of life. If you want your life to have meaning, live each day trusting that you have a vital part to play in this great story and being intentional about living out your part. If you can do that, you will find a sense of meaning and purpose that can't be negated. Even when, as it did for Moses, the story ends up going differently than you expected. So knowing and believing we are part of God's story, it gives our lives meaning, but it also gives us something else, something we all desperately need right now. Knowing we are part of God's great story also gives us hope. The hope we need to sustain us when it feels like the world might be falling apart. Friends, God's story is going somewhere. and it is somewhere unimaginably good. So for the sake of our own well-being, and even more, for the sake of the well-being of the generations who will follow us, we each need to live into our parts of this story. We need to each do our bit to move it along so that through us, God can continue to bring increasing life to this world. Friends, we must believe and know, as Moses did, that we are, each and every one of us, an important part of this story. We also need to know that ultimately that story is not ours. It's God's. And my friends, that is very, very good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's pray together, friends. Gracious and loving God, we gather this morning to show you our love and devotion. And we gather to experience your love for us and for this world. As we come before you in prayer today, we come not just to bring our longings to you, but also to hear and be shaped by your longings for us. So help us to come, open to the life-giving touch of your Spirit upon each one of us. Lord, our hearts are heavy with stories, images of, and encounters with people impacted by the conflicts happening both in Europe and in the Middle East. we know your desire is for peace to permeate the earth and all its peoples. We also know that the situations in both Ukraine and in Israel and Gaza are far more complicated than we, sitting here so far away, can possibly appreciate or understand. So first, grant us the humility to know this. And may our humility guide our thoughts and words and prayers in ways that are reflective of your heart. We do pray for you to bring peace in both places, lasting peace that creates room and time for restoration and healing to happen. We pray for the leaders making decisions, that they would be given deep wisdom, profound courage, and the ability to see beyond hate and fear so that they might be moved by compassion for those so horribly impacted. We pray for all those whose lives have been turned upside down by these conflicts. Today especially, we pray for the civilians who were just trying to live their lives and have had those lives irreparably changed by the actions of others. God be with them. Bring care and provision and safety where it is so desperately needed. Bring hostages safely home and be with those who are mourning the tragic loss of loved ones and friends. We pray also for the communities here in Canada for whom this is deeply personal, people who have friends and loved ones on the ground in Israel and Gaza. God be with them, comforting the pain and anguish they're feeling. Lead us in how to pray for them when you know our intercessions are needed and can help. And God, when we don't know what to pray, help us to be assured that you even know the groanings of our hearts, feelings that words cannot express. And even with all of this happening in the world, we are so very grateful that you also still care and have the capacity to hear and respond to our prayers for our own personal needs. So we pray for those we know who are sick or in need of your healing in some way. We pray for those who are without shelter as our weather changes and life on the streets gets more difficult. And we dare to pray for ourselves, asking that you would meet each of us at our points of need today. God, we are so very grateful for your love and faithfulness and constant presence with us. Help us to hold fast to them as we go into this next week and all that it holds. And hear us as we pray now, as Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you so much for the ways you support the service and the work that goes on here at St. Stephen's. We thank you also for your tithes and offerings, and I ask that you would pray with me now over the gifts given this week. With what we have set before you this week, God, we demonstrate our deepest love. Receive our gifts, our very best, as sweet offerings to you. May they be the blessing to others that they have been for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, one announcement, a quick reminder about the annual Congregational Fall Supper coming up this next Saturday, November 4th, here at 5:30. If you are in the area, we would love to share a meal with you and some fellowship. We're going to sing some songs together and just catch up with each other. And so we hope that we will see lots of you out at that dinner. If you're a regular online watcher who maybe doesn't come here on Sunday mornings regularly, but you're coming to the dinner, I would love to know that. So please come and find me. Make yourself known. It would be really nice to see you face to face. Friends, like Moses, we too are each called by God to bring life and love to this world in the ways that we can. And like Moses, we do not go alone, but we go in the strength of God, who calls us friends. So go from here in confidence and in hope, knowing that God goes with you. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when
of winter. praising my Savior all the day long.